Turn your Bibles to Matthew, and we're going to, you know, faith is the key in your relationship with the Lord. I realize that Matthew is a book that we often recognize as a transition book between what was going on in the Old Testament with Israel and what was going on in the New Testament with the introduction of Jesus Christ, but there are all kinds of things in Matthew, and I think maybe our Sunday school lesson this coming Sunday is going to show you. There are quite a few nuggets in here. But faith is a very important thing. Faith is the key to our relationship with the Lord. Walk by faith, he says. And I just want you to look in Matthew at some episodes where you see the demonstration of great faith and you see episodes of little faith and try to glean a common theme to both, because I think it will help us in our walk with the Lord. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to help us with our study tonight, and then we'll dive right in. David Bush, will you pray for us? Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. All right. So we're going to kind of do a little walk through some of the chapters here in the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 and notice some episodes here. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5. Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant should be healed, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, if you read all of what's going on with the centurion by checking other gospels, he doesn't actually physically go to Jesus Christ. He sends an emissary. And Jesus says, I will come, in verse 7, and heal him. That's what he said he's going to do. So he starts on his way, and then he sends somebody else out, and they tell him what he said here. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just say it, and my servant should be healed. And that's a tremendous amount of faith, if you think about it, because he believes what Jesus Christ said. Now, this centurion is in Capernaum, and if you're reading back in the gospel coming forward before the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus moves from Nazareth to Capernaum. That becomes his new hometown. And he's working out of there, and he's working in Galilee. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven. This centurion knows what's going on. As a matter of fact, he was an honorable man and had done some things for the Jews. So he's very familiar with the Jewish religion. He's built him a synagogue. So he's very involved. And when he hears about Jesus Christ and what he's doing, he recognizes this is the man that can heal my servant. And he doesn't even have to come here to do it. He said, I will come and heal him. And all he has to do is make that commandment. What he's saying, what the centurion is saying, I'm a man under authority. The fact that I have somebody with more power than me over me allows me to say to those under me, do this, and they do it. Not because of me, but because of whom I'm under. And he obviously recognizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is under the authority of his Father. So he says, all you got to do is say it, and it's going to happen. Tremendous amount of faith, but it's because he knew the man, and he knew to trust what Jesus had said, I will come and heal him. Okay? But notice in verse 18 of the same chapter, these guys, the disciples, they knew Jesus Christ. They knew as much about Jesus Christ as the centurion knew. I mean, whatever miracles he had heard about, they had seen. And in verse 18, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he, watch it, what are the next two words? Gave commandment. So when the Bible says gave commandment, what did he have to do in order to be able to give a commandment? He had to speak. And when he spoke, he is the Word of God. He's God manifest in the flesh. What he said is the Word of God, because it's God speaking. Right, he gave commandment. What was the commandment? Depart unto the other side. Is that what he said? Okay. So, that's what he said. And these guys come up and say, I'll go with you. And he blows them off. And in verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. What's the commandment? Depart to the other side. There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, and he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. What are the next two words? We perish. Not true. Because he said, go to what? The other side. They weren't there yet. So you're not going to die in the sea. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he rose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And they're like, whoa, who is this? So they had the word of God, but they did not believe. That's why he said, oh, you have little faith, because they didn't believe that he would get them to the other side. They thought they were going to perish in that storm. What was Jesus doing in verse 24? Sleeping. Didn't look like he was too worried about it. And their problem was they were fearful. That's what the Bible says. Verse 26, he saith unto them, why are ye fearful? All right, go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, here's another episode. He's in his own city, back in Capernaum. Verse 2, behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto him, unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. He also ends up walking out of the house under his own power. Now, if you read in the other Gospels, particularly in Mark, you find out, when those men, there were four of them, carried that man on his stretcher to see Jesus, there was a problem. They couldn't get to Jesus because there were so many people there. So they went on top of the house, broke up the tile, and lowered him down through there to get to Jesus. And that's when the Bible says Jesus, seeing their faith. You realize, there was no obstacle, there was no circumstance, there was no event that was going to stop them getting this man to Jesus Christ. They looked at the situation and said, it doesn't make any difference. We just have to get the man to Jesus. The centurion said, it doesn't make any difference. All we got to do is we just got to get the word to my servant. He'll be healed. We just got to get this man to Jesus. And so it's a tremendous amount of faith because they knew it was worth every bit of that effort. And there was nothing they were not going to let any obstacle standing in their way prevent this man from getting to Jesus Christ, not when he was in Capernaum. You know, he's in and out of there, so we're not going to stop. I'm cutting through some things and not asking you to turn to every scripture. You should if you want to study this out, but I think you remember that story. Look at Matthew chapter 9 at verse 20. So he's on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And on the way, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. That's a strange thing, because nobody had ever done that before. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Jesus, when you read this in the other Gospels, he knows that virtue has gone out of him. One of the definitions of virtue is that power. Who touched me? And his disciples said, are you kidding? Look at all these people. Do you want to know who touched you? And, you know, she came forward. Okay, I did it. He wanted her to know that she was whole and that it was her faith that did it. That's a tremendous amount of faith. But once again, getting to the man. They knew him. And if I could just get to the man. Look at Matthew chapter 14 real quick. Jumped ahead to verse 34. Matthew chapter 14, verse 34. When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all their country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many were touched were made perfectly whole. I wonder where they got that idea. You know, she was the one. They're like, just touch it, man. But the idea was that they had, the faith was great in that they knew if I could just get to Jesus, that's really what was motivating the centurion. That's really what was motivating those men that carried that fellow to the, that had the palsy. It's really what motivated her. I just got to get to Jesus. He is the healer. Just get me to the man. All right. Look in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and look at verse 29. You know what's going on. Jesus, in verse 25, is walking on the water. And in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, what did he say? Come. Just like you do to your puppy. Come. That's the same thing as giving a commandment to go to the other side. He spoke, right? Word of God, right? Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was, what's the next word? Afraid. Just like when they were fearful in the boat. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Fear causes you to doubt. It did when they were in the boat. They said, we're not going to make it to the other side. We're going to perish. Here he looks around and he sees how bad the water is. And he's like, whoa. Now, in essence, you could say, you know, he needed to get to Jesus. That's what the Lord said, come. But he also just simply needed to believe the word of God. And it was fear, once again, that caused him to doubt, and the Lord said to him, O thou of little faith. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Interestingly, in Capernaum, that centurion is not a Jew. And the woman in this chapter is not a Jew. In verse 21, Jesus went thence, Matthew 15, 21, and departed into the coast of Tyre and Zidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Think about what she said there. O Lord, thou son of David. Got any idea? She is confessing that he is the Jewish Messiah. There are a lot of people in Israel that don't believe that. She does. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's a total blow off. No deal, lady. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know, that's a good way to a man's heart. He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. Now, if we're not going to go through and do the whole study, but he's up near Tyre and Zidon. He's already been working up in that area, and there are a lot of people that have turned him down up there. So what she says next is actually true about what's happened to the preaching of the Word of God up there. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There's some crumbs that have fallen from his preaching up there. Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Basically, she wasn't going to take no for an answer. And she knew who she was dealing with. Like the centurion, and like these others, like that woman that had the issue of blood, and like those men that carried that man with the palsy, I got him, and I'm not getting out of here until he does this. Because he can, and she needs it, and I believe him. I know he can do it. And her answer is just phenomenal. I mean, I'm not going to detour this study to go through and show, but there's a study I did on the internet about this episode here. And truly, there were people that turned him down. There were some crumbs lying around. She said, I'll take those. And she gets, you know, the daughter is no longer grievously vexed with the devil because she knows Jesus Christ. She knows the man. The centurion knew the man. The forecarrier and the man with the palsy knew the man. That woman that had the blood knew the man. She knew the man, Lord, the son of David. And they all knew if we just get to him, he's going to heal us. He's going to take care of the problem. They knew it. So it is a little bit surprising when you see the disciples, they knew the man and they had a commandment from the man and they're like, you're killing us out here in the water. Or here I am walking on the water. And you see how it was so difficult for the Lord. And they have to point out, oh, ye of little faith. Matthew 17. We're not going to go through the whole book. We're going to end here. Matthew chapter 17. Jesus Christ has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they came down in verse 14, they came to the multitude, and there was a certain man kneeling down to him saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. You ever felt like saying that? And sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to that disciples, and they could not cure him. Couldn't do it. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. So they brought him. He cast out the devil. And in verse 19, the disciples asked Jesus, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Lack of faith. Stop right there. Keep your finger, because we'll come right back to that passage and look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. When he commissions his 12 disciples, in verse 7, he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what are you to do? Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. What's the next three words? Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the commandment, the word of God, cast out devils. Now they're dealing with one and they can't get it out. And you know what the Lord said? Verse 20, because of your unbelief. See, they had the word of God. They knew the man. Had the word of God, couldn't do it. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall be removed, it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. They'd seen Jesus do both. It's interesting, isn't it, to look at the contrast between those people that were close to the Lord and had his word, and they had the little faith, and these others who knew the man, and they just went to him, and they were not going to stop until they got. So what's the point of all this? You've seen some things. We know the man, and we have the word. We, like the disciples, could be very prone to be of little faith in circumstances of fear and doubt. We really could. And so recognize that capacity of people that are close to him, that have his word, could let fear and doubt be the two things that would cause us to lack faith at a time when the Lord's given us a specific direction in our life. Knowing that, then we'd be encouraged to be more like those that just say, it doesn't make any difference if we have to go over the roof. It doesn't make any difference if we have to go through a crowd. It doesn't make any difference if we have to pray through some, you know, contention even with the Lord. It doesn't make any difference, you know, if we've tried and it hasn't worked. Jesus said it. We know the man, and by faith, We're going to see this thing through. Very important to remember that. I pray that you're encouraged. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to see some examples of a very simple lesson. And our desire here tonight, Father, as we bow our heads before you, is to have great faith. Not so that we can make another line in some special book, but, Father, because we know your Son, we know what you said to us in the Word of God, and we want you to be able to accomplish through us those things that you desire, regardless of the obstacle, regardless of the situation that might cause us to fear. Help us, Father, be strong in faith, keep our eyes on you, and keep walking toward you on the truth of the words of God. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.